This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
My friends, we are halfway home on a Friday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Just an hour away from the sit-down with the skipper. We do it every week. Mike Schilt going to join us at 9 a.m. from Atlanta. Got a plethora of things to talk to the skipper about this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And he, a recent MLB Network fame. Congratulations. How has your life changed?
Not all that much, actually, in the last 24 hours since going on with Trevor May and AJ Pierzynski. But it was a fun experience.
Yeah.
Let's see. We do have standing by right now, though, our friend from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Our weekly Friday chat is brought to you by the folks at Grand Old Barbecue. And Jake Mintz does not appear to be on a bicycle or on a back road of New York State. Is joining us right now on 97.3 The Fan. Jake, good morning.
Good morning, my beautiful people. I thought I would dress up like AJ Pierzynski for today's show.
And
with
you
the
did.
Backwards hat.
Yep, you did.
Yeah,
you did. He was. He's an interesting cat, man. He was like adamantly against the Dylan Cease trade to San Diego, and I would say that's Dylan Cease has been one of the few bright spots for the San Diego Padres this season. Got a chance to talk to him and interview him the other day. A really interesting guy. He's the most left-handed right-hander I think I've ever met or interviewed.
That's a really good way of describing Dylan Cease.
He's a left-hander in a right-hander's body. He's a really good dude, and I think that was a great trade.
He and Spencer Strider are birds of the same feather.
Correct. Both righties, think lefty.
Both righties who move like lefties. Exactly. Exactly right. How's everything going in San Diego?
It's beautiful, fantastic. Friday morning over there? Great Friday morning.
No panicking at all around these parts.
At all. Everyone is dialed in, and the boys are ready to take on Atlanta this weekend.
Nothing gets you ready for a series against probably the best team in the National League, like getting mollywopped by the purple and black Colorado Rockies. Look, no one game or series over the regular season is cause for concern or celebration. However, if there ever was one for concern, it would be the one that was just played at Petco Park because yuck.
Yeah, it sucks.
You're the neutral observer we were just talking about, though. We got the sense that Padres fans are actually more concerned than maybe neutral observers are about the Padres, because you can kind of explain it away. I mean, your name on the chat is Rocks Are Too Hot, and they are, but we didn't really give the Rockies any credit for being hot coming into this series. We still thought Padres need to take care of business, sweep or two out of three at the worst. And when they got swept, obviously the sky feels like it is falling, even if Mike Schilt says it is not.
Padres fans need to be thankful for Mr. Rob Manfred, who made the decision a number of years ago to take the playoffs and expand them. Because right now, the Padres are clinging to the final spot in the National League wild card, which is a comical distinction at this point in the season. Who cares? It's May 17th. We're not looking at the wild card standings. However, this is relevant because the middle of the National League is butt. It is very...
That's a baseball analysis term that you get. Yeah.
Okay. I can break it down more complicated if you want, but just know, Padres fans, the middle of the NL is straight butt. Every other fan base is having the same level of consternation that you're feeling right now. okay, you're one game, or you're basically neck and neck with the Diamondbacks, Nationals, Mets, Pirates, Giants, Reds, Cardinals, or whatever, right? Those are the teams. They're all those fan bases are having the same sky is falling conversation right now. There are five good teams in the NL, and then everyone else is fine. The Padres are probably the most talented of the group of teams that is distinctly fine. And that's not a terrible position to be in. And so as long as none of the important players get hurt, or Petco Park falls into the sea, or the Pirates lose 15 in a row, let's just shelve all the panic and we'll talk in a month. All right.
Yeah. I mean, what, when we talked to Brett Boone a couple of weeks ago, he goes, you know, man, you kind of know what you have after about 50 games. And I submit to Brett, and I submit to you, and I submit to everyone out there. We've been following this team every pitch for the last 6 years that we've been a show together. I still can't figure
it
out.
You never know.
I never,
you
know.
Never know what you have.
You never know what you have with this team. They look like world beaters. Then they look horrific and lifeless and listless. And I know, you know, that the guys are trying and working and grinding and all that stuff, man, because that's what they do. But it's just a real hard team to figure out.
Yeah, and it will always be that way because the baseball gods, Woods, they hate you.
Oh, I know.
They hate you specifically.
No, I know.
And they 100%. Want nothing but pain and confusion for you.
Yep.
But not you, Ben.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, I just want to go on the record that I am more than fine with all the hand-wringing and consternation that will happen when the 95-plus win Brewers, Cubs, Phillies, Braves, and Dodgers all make the playoffs, and the 83-win Padres then go on a run right through all of them in the playoffs, and everyone's going, what's going on here? This team shouldn't even, we gotta change the whole format of the postseason. I will be more than fine with that come October if that happens.
There is gunpowder pouring into the hot take cannons as we speak, months in advance. Yeah, it's fine. Like everything, it's all fine. You know, the Padres aren't great, and they're not terrible.
So speaking of Dylan Cease, we're talking to Jake Minns from Cespedes Family Barbecue. We chatted with him in the dugout this week for an interview. Good stuff. And I asked him about the pitching injuries of especially the high velocity guys in baseball. Your colleague Jordan wrote about that this week in Yahoo. Dylan said, yeah, I know it's a thing, and I know I throw hard, and I can't really worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about it. What's your take on, and Jordan, what he wrote about the rash of pitching injuries, especially to the high velo guys right now, like Spencer Strider as well?
It's like driving a car, right? Like, you can't get hurt if you're crawling along, right? And pitching is the same thing. The harder you throw.
You can get hit hard, though, if you're crawling on the mound.
Yeah, exactly. And like, velocity is a double-edged sword because on one hand, you need it to survive in today's game. If you go out there throwing 92, you better have something else that makes you special because otherwise you're getting crushed. But at the same time, it makes it more likely that your arm's going to pop because our human bodies were not meant to handle that level of stress, evidently, right? And so the sense that I get from talking to players from being at the yard all the time is this is the cost of doing business in a sad way. And I think that the pitcher injuries were presented as something of an epidemic, right? This unstoppable rise of missed time. And I do think it is a problem, right? Baseball fans want to be able to watch Spencer Strider and Shane McClanahan and Shohei Ohtani and all these guys pitch. But I don't think players see it that way. I think players are like, that's unfortunate. That really stinks. Let's get back as soon as I possibly can, because you need to change the incentives if you want anything to switch, and telling pitchers not to throw as hard is never really going to mean anything. Now, what one aspect that I actually think is interesting is which teams are getting a lot of injuries. So if you look at, you know, pitcher injuries by team, the Rays and the Dodgers are really high up there. And they're also two of the teams that are very skilled at developing pitchers, at developing velocity. And I think that's only another data point that those two things do go hand in hand.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, you just saw yesterday the news came down. Emmett Sheehan, who has not pitched this year for the Dodgers, but he's going under the knife as well. Tommy John. And they've churned out so many up there, high velo guys. And, you know, Glasnow went out last night, didn't have his best stuff, certainly. But he's one. If you're a Dodger fan, aren't you kind of just like, oh, God, everyone's getting hurt and Tyler Glasnow is continuing to make starts? Dylan Cease is probably the one guy on the team that I worry about that happening to just because he throws really, really hard.
Yeah, I don't want it to impact the way that we think as fans. I think that that's unfortunate.
Yes.
I'm a huge cycling dude, and there's this thing in cycling that happens all the time is when someone does really good cycling performance, it's like, well, they must be on
the
juice. They must be doping, right? And I think that it's just such an unfortunate mentality to have. And I know it's a little different with pitcher injuries, but let's do our best as people who enjoy the game to just watch it. And if someone's arm explodes, someone's arm explodes. Yeah. I know that's really difficult because it's unavoidable, right? And it's impacting our game every day on such an obvious level. But I and many other people are clueless how to fix it, right? I don't think there's any easy solution. We can identify probably one. One that was presented to me that I thought was compelling was like, look, we're not going to tell guys to not throw as hard. We're not going to create like a maximum velocity. Let's focus on getting the surgery and the rehab process as good as we possibly can to get the time of return down, right? So if you can shrink that window, you're getting guys back on the field quicker. That seems like an area where things could improve. Again, I know nothing about medicine, but I just thought that was an interesting nugget.
Talking to Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue here on Ben and Woods. And Jake and Jordan Woods, you've probably seen this. They're trying to make something into a thing. And it's a really clever thing. I just don't know how it's going for them. And the thing, Jake, is when a team loses all three games of a series, it's a sweep.
Yeah.
But they're trying to make, if you get swept in a four-game series, it's not swept, you get mopped.
Mops, yeah.
In a four-game series. I think it's really clever. Is it catching on, though? Are you seeing some traction with that?
Listen, man, patience is key.
That's right.
Barry came up with this idea, I want to say 2 years ago. Life is a long season.
Yeah.
I think he came up with this idea a couple years ago, and we did get, I believe the Nationals mopped a team this year and tweeted, "We mopped." Or put it in the media guide.
That's a win.
And so we're getting there. I think it's a good distinction just because there are so few mop opportunities over the course of a season to win four in a row. And a mop is better than a sweep, right? And so we track all the mop opportunities across the season. Now, we were presented with a particularly tricky one this week because the Phillies and the Mets had a four-game set that was 2-2. It was a home and home. Just because they're so close together, they could do this. And it's based upon the London series. So they're playing those two games over there. So that got the schedule all wonky, bruv. And so they had to do two in New York and then two in Philly. Is that a mop? If it's four games in a row and
two-game series, not a four-game series?
Because the Phillies had won three. I'd say that's a mop. You beat the same team four times, granted in two different ballparks, but I think you would say the Mets got mopped there.
I mean, if it's a playoff series, it's always the same, 2-2, but you call it a four-game sweep. I mean, why would it be a four-game mop in the postseason?
Yeah, you know, not to be a whole stickler here, but I will be, is we actually don't think mops apply to the postseason for a variety of different reasons. We think the off day kind of changes things there. In our minds, it is going to the ballpark 4 days in a row, looking the other team in the face and saying, we are definitively better than you every day. You do not get a break. We will crush you. I'm so sorry about that. I feel like this would have been a mop. Thankfully, the Phillies biffed last night's game and lost the game four to the Mets. I think that it is the same umpiring crew is a good piece of evidence. We asked Twitter this, and Twitter 50.9% said yes and 49.1% said no. So, you know, that's why America, you know, we vote. We're a democracy, which is why that's, you know, sometimes
what's a two-game series then? Is it a dustpan or what is just
a dusting.
Less than a dusting, a sweep,
so back-to-back and a mop. Dustings?
Yeah.
Dustings. We want to see if your team wins three in a row. You know, we get people bringing brooms all the time. Bring in a mop. Send us a picture at Cespedes BBQ. Bring a mop into the yard. If they say, hey, you can't bring that in there, you say, well, actually, it's for the upcoming mop. And then the security guard will say, oh, duh.
Just shove it down your pants.
We've got the Padres and Braves, a wraparound, first of four tonight. I know is Tuesday morning, if the Padres mop the Braves, we will be on cloud nine.
That's right.
And if the Braves mop the Padres, it's going to be a nightmare here, Jake.
Burn it down.
No doubt.
Hey. If the Padres mop the Braves, I would like to come on Tuesday morning.
Done.
For a special edition of my.
We'll get you a mop sponsorship for the whole thing.
Settle down. We can't get you a mop.
That's
sponsorship.
A lie, Jake. We won't be having that.
We will not be getting you a sponsorship. Okay. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Jake, thank you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it as always.
Mop it up.
Mop it up.
There is Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Our weekly conversations brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue in Flynn Springs, North Park, at the ballpark. If you're feeling like some BBQ this weekend, maybe some brisket, ribs, pulled pork, you're not going to find any better. Then Grand Ole Barbecue is authentic, as Texas as it can get in San Diego. Very, very good stuff. And good stuff from Jake, as always.
Always.
All right, if you want to get back on our phone lines, 833-288-0973, we are assessing the level of confidence and lack of confidence in your San Diego Padres this morning. You can join us, 833-288-0973. Paul's got a Roundel report coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. All ahead with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. Back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't forget, we're just over a month out of the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. We would love to see you out at Goat Hill Park with us on June 19th. We've got two shotguns. We got the morning option and the afternoon option, depending on your schedule. Either way, it's going to be a great day of golf, prizes. We've got food. We got drinks, beers from Burgeon, which is my favorite. I think the best brewery in San Diego. All going to be for all the participants out at the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open. You can sign up on our social media channels right now. Get the link. Get your foursome together, or if it's just you or twosome, we can put you and pair you together with like-minded tier ones. It's a good community.
It's a great community, man.
And it's a great spot. My brother just played at Goat Hill last week, and he said it is in such great shape right now. It is really one of the most fun courses you can play in San Diego, and it's great for players of different abilities as well, because it's not Torrey Pines where it's 7,800 yards and just like miserable once you get off the tee. It's shorter, but it's a lot of fun to play at.
Yeah, and it's not stodgy either. So you can wear shorts and a t-shirt, man. That's a really cool part of about Goat Hill. And we got some killer prizes. Padres stepped up too, man. Created a killer basket for us with some tickets. We're going to have the Odyssey Suite as well that you can win when you're out there. We got really good prizes. It's going to be awesome. Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Paul, you just put the link up in the chat, too, as well.
Let's go back out to our phones, 833-288-0973. Let's go to line four. Is this Jason?
Hey, this is actually Ryan from Carlsbad.
All right, that's all right. We're going by some caller ID, so it's a little hit or miss
sometimes.
Yeah,
no worries. Yeah, I don't know who Jason is. I have a couple things. I think there's some consistencies and some inconsistencies. So one thing that I think is obviously consistent is we lose to the Rockies, right? So the Rockies, I hate the Rockies. I see purple, I get mad. I thought it was funny that the purple guy called in, like get your own radio channel kind of thing, but not being mean. But anyways, I think that we're 100% going to be inconsistent all year long, or unpredictable rather. And that it is what it is. That comes with being a Friar fan. But the one thing that I think I haven't heard anyone talking about is Manny has a newborn at home. So if anyone has had a baby, you know that that really messes with your mind. You see him step up the plate. He just doesn't seem like he's there, right? And I think that as time goes on a little bit and he gets used to the baby at home, maybe he'll want to play some baseball. But, yeah, I was at one of the games for the series, and it was just watching him play, he was just had no passion, not even running down the line, obviously hitting into all the double plays, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think that's – I'm not panicking, but getting swept by the Rockies sucks, and, you know, it is what it is. But how do we just beat the Dodgers, the Cubs, in their series and then get swept by the Rockies because we're playing Padre baseball, and that's what the game's all about.
So, and especially third part, especially against that team, especially against the Rockies. I say it every year. I get sick to my stomach when I see those guys, and especially at Coors Field. But now Petco Park's no different. They give us fits every single time. We got to figure out a way to get over that Rockies hump, man. You just have to figure out a way. Like whatever the Yankees are doing to the Twins, that's what you got to figure out how to be against the Rockies, where you just own them and they just don't have a shot. And they shouldn't have a shot. You know, you have better players. But we got in that series, I thought, man, they changed a lot of their approaches. They changed a lot of the way that their pitchers went out and attacked the zone differently because they saw some weaknesses in our team. They exploited them. We didn't. We thought we could roll out of bed and take two of three at a minimum, and we got embarrassed pretty badly.
I'm also not going to say that having a baby doesn't have an effect. We both have kids. It's certainly a major life change and experience. Even if you already have kids, it's a big thing. When you've got a newborn in the house, it doesn't mean that you're definitely distracted and not playing well. And, you know, Bryce Harper had a baby at the same time. His OPS.
It's not his first baby, though.
It's not the first, but, you know, he came right back. He's got six homers since then, an OPS over 1,100. He's been one of the hottest hitters in baseball with a newborn at home. Yeah, it's a different lifestyle change. I don't know if it has any effect at all, though. You can't just say, well, Manny's distracted by the baby at home. That's not why he's playing well. Some people would say, you know, going to work with all the stress at home of a new baby is freeing and can, you know, let guys thrive also at the same time. It's just you can't just say if A, then B, that one definitely has something to do with the other.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of, well, he's rich, so clearly it's easier. It's not. I'm not rich, but I know it's not easy for anyone, ever. And we don't know everything that there is to know, you know? I do know this, man. I'm not overly concerned about him. I am concerned, but I'm not overly concerned. I just have seen him too many times figure it out and get locked in and, you know, help with the glove, certainly. The running down the line stuff, I don't think he's ever going to get past those allegations, ever. I just don't think, you know, the funny thing about Manny is he's never been fast. He wasn't fast in Baltimore. He'd never had elite sprint speed. I understand sometimes the way it looks. You're talking about a guy with a couple knee surgeries, that ankle that he ripped from the bone last year.
He's always been the same player.
He's always been the same player.
If he had Ellie De La Cruz dogging it up the line,
sure.
Fernando dogging it up the line.
That's a different.
That would look way worse.
It never even enters into my mind because I just know that that's that player. So
remember, even in 2022, when he was a 6.8 WAR player, I think, second in the MVP voting in the National League, had a huge season. He had the ankle injury that he played through it. He was terrible for an entire month.
He was.
And you can say, well, that was because of the ankle injury. Well, why can't you say, because he's coming off elbow surgery, he's had a really rough first 6 weeks of the season here, but he might still end up being the guy who he was in 2022 this year. We all, because in hindsight, we know he had a really good season.
Of course,
all just say, well, he had a big slump because he had the ankle injury. You don't have that hindsight yet, but it's certainly very possible that, you know, recovering from the elbow surgery and trying to get locked in is just the same as like trying to deal with a bad ankle for a month. When he hit like 180, 190 or something in June, and the rest of the year, he was clearly the best player in the National League. If he didn't have that month, I think we said at the time, if he had sat out and gone to the injured list, he would have been the MVP that year.
Yep, for sure.
But because he played through it to try to help his team, he probably cost himself an MVP award in 2022. There's no chance that, you know, Manny is just having a little more trouble locking in because he's trying to push himself to be on the field.
Yeah, potentially.
And rush himself back as early as possible.
You know, nobody knows really what's right. It's just he's just not locked in right now. He's just not squaring up the baseball like we're used to seeing. So I'm not too worried about him, to be honest. And this I disagree with. Corey says he plays for the back of the sports cards, not the name on the front of the jersey. The guy the other day before the ground ball in the ninth inning was out at a local school meeting kids. He does a ton in this community. So I think that's an unfair criticism. Criticize him all you want. I'll criticize him. He's been terrible this year. But I think that's not a great take, in my opinion. He does a ton in San Diego. Cares about the community, cares about the city. I think that's unfair.
I mean, ultimately, in every sport, but especially in baseball, the better you do individually, the better your team does. It's okay to want to do well for yourself because that helps your team win games, right, which is the ultimate goal. How do you separate the two?
I don't know. I mean, and again...
I guarantee you, if you gave Manny the option, you guys can win the World Series, but you have your worst season personally, or you guys can finish last and you have your best season personally, he'd take the World Series win and have his worst season personally. For I have sure. no doubt about that.
I have no doubt either, but hey, listen, right now he's a lightning rod, 100%, and he will be. He will be for the rest of the 10 years that he's here. He's going to be a lightning rod. He also knows that, and he knows that he has the capability, I think, of getting hot, getting on a streak, making ridiculous plays. We've all seen it. So I think it'll come. I'm hopeful that it will. And if it doesn't, you know, hey, try again next year. I don't know what to tell you. We've got him for a while. So
tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable. Can you imagine if it was every morning? Like Adam said, this roundtable thing is going so well. We're going to make it a daily feature
Can you dump him? Just dump him, because it's not like that's out of the realm of possibility.
I'm going to go ahead and nix that even
Adam
myself.
Gets so excited, and he sends us like people that like the roundtable. He sends us like texts and stuff about it, how great. And I'm like, if you say it, he'll be like, why can't we do it every day?
All right. Yeah, it's the daily 14-hour roundtable with all of our hosts from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. every single day, 12 hours every day.
We don't give him any ideas. Oh, he just hit us in the chat. He's listening.
Boy.
You can't dump the chat either, so, on the YouTube stream.
Nope.
By the way, that roundtable is brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout and delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. All right, we'll come back. Paulie will give us some headlines. A little early Rindle Report as we get ready for Mike Schilt and the Friar Friday Management Report, or Manager's Report, at 9 o'clock. Ahead with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. This hour, Ben Woods, brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. I'll have to admit, not having a Padres game yesterday was okay.
It was refreshing.
I was okay with that.
I needed it.
I'm ready, though, to get back to baseball today.
Me too.
I'm excited, actually, to get back to baseball today.
I'm excited. They're a good team.
They got a good pitcher, a good team.
Yep.
It's like, I feel like, almost like house money tonight. You know, go and do against the Atlanta Braves.
Hey, you're on the road. You've played better on the road. You've played better against top, you know, better competition than you have. Worst competition, you've played better on the road than you have at home. All right, fine. Like, let's roll. I don't care. Just win. Win some games, man. Want to see the guys play well and play clean baseball. And, you know, some timely hitting would be really, really solid, too. Atlanta's going to be nuts. I heard the weather's pretty crappy in Atlanta right now, so I'm actually kind of hoping for a delay myself. Game starts what time local?
4:20.
Paulie. It's always 4:20. I would like a nice 7:20 start tonight.
Well, that's not going to happen.
It might.
Well, they started at 10:20
maybe
Eastern. That seems a little late for the kids in the crowd to get a game going that
I don't know that I've ever heard anybody lobby for a 3-hour rain delay.
Sports writers in Atlanta are not going to be fans of Stephen Woods.
I don't care.
If you just spoke a 3-hour rain delay. Oh,
sorry, Jesse. Sorry, tonight. Tony. Sorry, Sam. Sorry, all of you guys.
You just murdered Sam Levin.
I murdered him. I'm sorry. But I have the school fair.
Oh, I see.
Bit tonight. Bit.
Sammy, you can replay the roundtable from yesterday for one of your hours
just
of Rain Delay Theater.
Woods. It's great.
Throw in the Dylan Cease interview. We got today's Mike Schilt interview that's coming up in 20 minutes. We're programming your Rain Delay Theater tonight for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Yeah,
it's going to last 4 hours.
Yeah, we've got the school fair thing where we go and buy art that our kids have made fundraiser type scene. And then I would like to...
How high is that going to go on the bidding?
I think, I'm not joking when I say this, I think a chair there sold last year for like $1,000.
A chair?
Yes.
The kids are making
chairs?
They painted it. Oh, they didn't make the actual chair.
It's not a sweatshop. Wood shop. Taylor's in there just sanding like a chair.
Am I sitting on a chair made by kindergartners, preschoolers right now in their child labor factory?
I do think a chair went for literally like $1,000 last year. I'm not kidding. So I'm going.
Kids got a future.
I'm going to that tonight. So yeah.
All right, we're going to check traffic. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindler Report on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindler Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindler Report with Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. It's the Rindel Report, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ball players age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information. Gentlemen, we will start off in the NBA playoffs. Had one game last night. Timberwolves taking on the Nuggets. This game was in Minnesota. And the Nuggets had a 3-2 series lead hanging into this game. And my God, Minnesota put the damage to them. 115-70 was the final score. This game was over pretty quickly. Denver just pulled everybody and said, all right, time to gear up.
I think that's a smart strategy. Don't chase a game that's already toast. I get it. It's 1-7, and you can't really punt on playoff games. But they punted on a playoff game and said, we'll get them back.
You kind of have to at
in our
point,
arena,
right?
In game 7. They were down 20 early. It's like, do we want to spend all of our energy trying to get back into this game, or do we want to save it up for a game 7 on our home floor? And they chose the latter. We'll see. Maybe they'll regret that. But
baseball teams have to do it. It's never fun when it happens. Hopefully,
people get mad when baseball teams do it in game 40 of a 162 game regular season. There are NBA teams that are punting on playoff games in the second round still.
It is so true, man. It's, hopefully Max Fried just gets lit in the first inning and he's got to sit out there and wear it for 7-8 runs tonight. That's my dream.
Hmm. Interesting.
So we got game 7 there. What do we got tonight? We have the Knicks and the Pacers. That game is in Indianapolis or Indiana. And the Knicks have a 3-2 series lead. They tip off at 5:30 tonight on ESPN. See if the Knicks can close that out in advance of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now,
Edwards punt on the road again and try to get back to game 7? I don't think that their fans are stressed like Padres fans. Knicks fans are like Padres fans. They're waiting for
the
to fall.
Inevitable.
Yeah. They don't want to go to a game 7.
It's a good
7.
Comparison, actually.
I think they're going to be going all out to win this one.
Does that make you sick to think about the Padres in a... You know, in a game 6 where they could win it and they lose it and you're like, I can't watch.
Or game 5 in Philadelphia 2 years ago.
Yeah,
makes me kind of sick to think about that.
Yep. Real quick, back to that Timberwolves-Nuggets game last night. Anthony Edwards had 27 points.
Are you going to play it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play
good.
It. If you haven't followed Anthony Edwards, you need to start. He is one of the funniest, best players in the NBA. And this was, he was asked a question. Sitting at the podium last night following their 45-point win over the Nuggets. This was at home, so this is going to reference the previous game that was in Denver.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
Hell
games?
Yeah. They know y'all was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for game 7.
I love it, dude.
Elite.
I love it.
Elite quote.
Tell those I'll be back. One more time. I got to hear it again. It's so good.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
games? Hell yeah. They know y'all was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for game 7.
He's walking out of the locker room. I'll be back.
That's confidence. That's some confidence.
Oh, I love when athletes are supremely confident like that. Michael Jordan telling his team, pack one suit.
Right.
Pack one suit. You don't need another one. We're done. We're not. We are not staying.
That's a Jordan-esque
You pack
comment.
One.
That was in a. That was when they did 2-3-2, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. They knew that they weren't going to have to go on. That they'd win and
yep.
it would be over there.
When it would be yeah. over, you pack one suit. Do not pack anything else. Pack for one day. Oh, amazing. I thought that was so cool, dude. Yeah, he got up and walked out after that. Amazing.
So the other night, I think it was Wednesday night, the NFL schedule releases came out. Every single team now has to do the big production, the big video unveiling their schedule. I saw a lot of very creative ones from all the teams. I kind of like that that's now a thing. All the teams are competing against each other for, you know, maybe celebrity cameos or the most creative yeah. schedule release videos.
They were amazing, too.
They were
amazing.
Really good.
Amazing.
Now, we haven't really talked about the schedule too much. We've talked about, like, the Christmas games are going to be on Netflix this year, and they will have some international games. But you might notice that the New York Jets, who did not have a good year last year, of course, they lost their starting quarterback, you know, 30 seconds into the first game of the year, but they still have Aaron Rodgers, who's expected to be there all season long. They've got a record 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. 6 night games, whether Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, whatever. 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. That's the most for any team since the merger in 1970.
They did this didn't they have a ton last year, too? And they ended up having to flex a bunch of them out.
They flexed the later ones.
The later ones, yeah.
I mean, for a while. And they also, you saw the Broncos on every primetime game because
yeah.
they're like, well, Russell Wilson, like, they got to be good. And they were horrible. So Mike North is the NFL's vice president of broadcast planning. He did a video chat with reporters, and his quote, I thought it was interesting. He said, yes, it's an awful lot of primetime games early in the season, but obviously I feel like the Jets kind of owe us one. Do you feel that way as a fan? Like, well, we had to watch turd Jet games last year because of the injury. Like, this is a make good by them.
I mean, I'm not a complete conspiracy theorist lunatic, but if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd buy into that one.
Yes, I would too.
That the league is out to get the Jets for some reason and forcing them to play all these primetime games.
He says, when we had this call, all of us, we were all in on the Jets, and for that guy to last 4 plays was disheartening for many of us. This is the NFL employee. I feel like we could run it back, and certainly our broadcast partners, when they came to us early in the process talking about what storylines they want to focus on early, obviously Aaron Rodgers' return was a key win for everybody. So you get a lot of Aaron Rodgers on primetime games.
I mean, maybe.
maybe.
I thought very subtly, I didn't see anyone talking about this, the funniest schedule release, not video, but the actual game. They're making the Chargers play the Cardinals on ESPN Plus only on October 21st, opposite the real Monday Night Football game between the Ravens and the Bucks that everyone's going to watch. And you have to get an ESPN Plus subscription to watch the Chargers Cardinals game on October 21st and not care about the other game between, you know, 2 pretty decent teams.
All right.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
I
didn't even know they had ESPN Plus only NFL games.
I did not either.
Yeah. I saw that Dan Patrick pointed out on his show that, you know, the Taylor Swift effect is still definitely a thing
yeah.
in the NFL.
They had to look around.
And they were like, he goes, is this really a thing that they scheduled games coinciding with her concert tour?
Well, they had to avoid the stadiums, you know, which she'd be playing in, because she plays
yeah.
massive stadiums.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But does it make sense to make sure that she can be at Travis Kelce's games
right. like,
when there's big ones,
there was
that
one.
They're not opposite her concert somewhere far away?
There was one in particular. The Chiefs are playing the Bills in Buffalo, and that game is the same weekend that Taylor Swift will be having concerts in Toronto, which is like, what, an
yeah,
hour drive,
close.
Hour and a half?
They're
yep.
trying to entice her to attend as many games as possible, knowing
make it as easy
the
as
big
possible.
Bump that she gives the league.
That's
so smart.
Good.
It's not.
Smart. Yeah.
It's not crazy. It's smart. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a real effect, that bringing non-football
yeah.
fans into the fold. Why would you make it harder on Taylor Swift to get to the games? Oh, she's got a concert in Germany the day before. Let's put the Chiefs in a huge game the next day. No. Find places where it's really convenient for her to go to the games.
All right, and it's finally, quickly here, the days of free refills with your soda at McDonald's may be coming to an
end.
There was a report earlier yesterday that McDonald's is going to be phasing out the self-serve soda machines between now and 2032. They started doing the self-serve machines like 20 years ago, and they wanted to make it more convenient for you to serve yourself, get your free refills. Well, they are going to be removing that. Now, you'll have to go up to the counter. It'll be store-by-store discretion if they want to offer free refills or not, but it will be controlled
by employees. Does anyone ever buy two sodas because they finished their first one and they need to get another one? No. So you're not going to sell any more sodas. You probably make people healthier because they're not going to drink unlimited sodas, but you're making it harder on your employees that are going to have to deal with those requests at the same time. Didn't we move past this, that self-serve sodas are just a good thing that we can just keep around?
Agree. They said some of their reasons were theft, you know, which I don't understand.
That's
I
guess Ben buying a water glass and drinking Sprite
fine,
out of it.
But
the amount of space that the machines take up.
The cost, though, to them of even the stolen soda is like 2 cents.
Right. The little
it adds up,
and
buddy.
They're charging. I mean, McDonald's doesn't charge. They only charge like $1.59 right now for any size, which is I think reasonable. Other places they'll charge like $3.49 for a soda, which is crazy. It costs them like 3 cents a serving.
But here's the deal: when's the last time you actually posted up in a Mickey D's to have your meal?
That's true. Not drive through. This is why. Why are we even talking about this?
I know.
I did see Mickey D's though. They're talking about bringing. Like $5 value meals back.
Sold.
Like a double cheeseburger, fries, and a drink.
$5.
For $5. That would go crazy if that came back because, you know, you go to fast food now and you look like just for yourself and it's like, wow, $14. That's it's not what it used to be.
Not what it used to be, my friend.
And so they've been talking about bringing back a $5 like value meal. We'll see if they actually do it, because I think there are McDonald's owners are usually franchisees. They just buy the rights, and they're going to go, people are going to come in. We're not making any money on a $5 meal anymore with food costs and labor costs. That's a loss. Unless they order something else in addition to the $5 meal, we're going to lose money on that.
Will they, though?
Close.
That's interesting.
All right, that's the Rindle Report. Good job by Pauly. When we come back, we will be joined from Atlanta, Georgia, by the manager, Mike Schilt. A Fryer Friday Manager's Report is coming up next. This hour of Ben and Woods brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. I'll have to admit, not having a Padres game yesterday was okay.
It was refreshing.
I was okay with that.
I needed it. I needed it.
I'm ready, though, to get back to baseball today.
Me too.
I'm excited,
too.
Actually, to get
too.
Back to baseball
today. I'm excited.
Today.
They're a good team. And
they got a good pitcher, a good team.
Yep.
It's like, I feel like, almost like house money tonight. You know, go and do against the Atlanta Braves.
Hey, you're on the road. You've played better on the road. You've played better against top, you know, better competition than you have worse competition. You've played better on the road than you have at home. All right, fine. Like, let's roll. I don't care. Just win. Win some games, man. Want to see the guys play well and play clean baseball, and you know, some timely hitting would be really, really solid too. Atlanta's going to be nuts. I heard the weather's pretty crappy in Atlanta right now, so I'm actually kind of hoping for a delay myself. Game starts what time local?
4:20.
Paulie.
It's always 4:20.
I would like a nice 7:20 start tonight.
Well, that's not going to happen.
It might.
Well, they started at 10:20
maybe
Eastern. That seems a little late for the kids in the crowd to get a game going that
I don't know
late.
That I've ever heard anybody lobby for a 3-hour rain delay.
Sports writers in Atlanta are not going to be fans of Stephen Woods.
I don't care.
If you just spoke a 3-hour rain delay.
Sorry, Jesse. Sorry, tonight. Tony. Sorry, Sam. Sorry, all of you guys.
You just murdered Sam Levin.
I murdered him. I'm sorry. But I have we have the school fair
oh, I see.
Bit tonight.
bit.
Sammy, you can replay the roundtable from yesterday for one of your hours of Rain Delay Theater.
Ben and Woods. It's great.
Throw in the Dylan Cease interview. We got, you know, there's today's Mike Schilt interview that's coming up in 20 minutes. We're programming your Rain Delay Theater tonight for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Yeah,
we've got it's going to last 4 hours.
Yeah, we've got the school the school fair thing where we go and buy art that our kids have made, fundraiser type scene, and then I would like to.
How high is that going to go on the bidding?
I think I'm not joking when I say this. I think a chair there sold last year for like $1,000.
A chair?
Yes.
The kids are making
they painted
chairs.
It.
Oh, they so they didn't
it's
make the
a,
actual.
It's not
chair.
A sweatshop, wood shop. Taylor's in there just sanding like
a
chair.
Am I sitting on a chair made by kindergartners, preschoolers right now in their child labor factory?
I do think a chair went for literally like $1,000 last year. I'm not kidding. So I'm
kids
going.
Got a future.
I'm going to that tonight. So yeah.
All right, we're going to check traffic. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindler Report on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. It's the Rindle Report, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com for more information. Gentlemen, we will start off in the NBA playoffs. Had one game last night. Timberwolves taking on the Nuggets. This game was in Minnesota. And the Nuggets had a 3-2 series lead hanging into this game. And my God, Minnesota put the damage to them. 115-70 was the final score. This game was over pretty quickly. Denver just pulled everybody and said, all right, time to gear up.
I think that's a smart strategy. Don't chase a game that's already toast. I get it. It's 1-7, and you can't really punt on playoff games. But they punted on a playoff game and said, we'll get them back.
You kind of have to at
in our
point,
arena
right?
in game 7. They were down 20 early. It's like, do we want to spend all of our energy trying to get back into this game, or do we want to save it up for a game 7 on our home floor? And they chose the latter. We'll see. Maybe they'll regret that. But
baseball teams have to do it. It's never fun when it happens. Hopefully,
people get mad when baseball teams do it in game 40 of a 162 game regular season. There are NBA teams that are punting on playoff games in the second round still.
It is so true, man. It's, hopefully Max Fried just gets lit in the first inning and he's got to sit out there and wear it for 7-8 runs tonight. That's my dream.
Hmm. Interesting.
So we got game 7 there. What do we got tonight? We have the Knicks and the Pacers. That game is in Indianapolis or Indiana. And the Knicks have a 3-2 series lead. They tip off at 5:30 tonight on ESPN. See if the Knicks can close that out in advance of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now,
Edwards punt on the road again and try to get back to game 7? I don't think that their fans are stressed like Padres fans. Knicks fans are like Padres fans. They're waiting for
sky
to
inevitable.
Fall. Yeah. They don't want to go to a game 7.
That's a good 7. Comparison, actually.
I think they're going to be going all out to win this one.
Does that make you sick to think about the Padres in a, you know, in a game 6 where they could win it and they lose it and you're like, okay. I can't watch.
Or game 5 in Philadelphia 2 years ago.
Yeah,
makes me kind of sick to think about that.
Real quick, back to that Timberwolves Nuggets game last night. Anthony Edwards had 27 points.
Are you going to play it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play
good.
It. If you haven't followed Anthony Edwards, you need to start. He is one of the funniest, best players in the NBA. And this was, he was asked a question. Sitting at the podium last night following their 45-point win over the Nuggets. This was at home, so this is going to reference the previous game that was in Denver.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
Hell
games?
Yeah. They know I was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for game 7.
I love it, dude.
Elite.
I love it.
Elite quote.
I'll be back. One more time. I got to hear it again. It's so good.
Did you really tell the locker room staffer in Denver you were going to be back for
Hell
game
Hell yeah. Seven? They know y'all was in there. Yeah, I told them. I said, I'll see y'all for game seven.
He's walking out of the locker room. I'll be back.
That's confidence. That's some confidence.
Oh, I love when athletes are supremely confident like that. Michael Jordan telling his team, pack one suit.
Right.
Pack one suit. You don't need another one. We are not staying.
That's
one.
A Jordan-esque comment.
That was in suits. That was when they did 2-3-2, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. They knew that they weren't going to have to go on. That they'd win and
yep.
It would be over
they'd
there.
Win, it would be yeah. over. Pack one suit. Do not pack anything else. Pack for one day. Oh, amazing. I thought that was so cool, dude. Yeah, he got up and walked out after that. Amazing.
So the other night, I think it was Wednesday night, the NFL schedule releases came out. Every single team now has to do the big production, the big video unveiling their schedule. I saw a lot of very creative ones from all the teams. I kind of like that that's now a thing. All the teams are competing against each other for, you know, maybe celebrity cameos or the most creative yeah. schedule release videos.
They were amazing, too.
They were
amazing.
Really good.
Amazing.
Now, we haven't really talked about the schedule too much. We've talked about, like, the Christmas games are going to be on Netflix this year, and they will have some international games. But you might notice that the New York Jets, who did not have a good year last year, of course, they lost their starting quarterback, you know, 30 seconds into the first game of the year, but they still have Aaron Rodgers, who's expected to be there all season long. They've got a record 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. 6 night games, whether Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, whatever. 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks. That's the most for any team since the merger in 1970.
They did this didn't they have a ton last year, too? And they ended up having to flex a bunch of them out.
They flexed the later ones.
The later ones, yeah.
I mean, for a while. And they also, you saw the Broncos on every primetime game because they're like, well, Russell Wilson, like, they got to be good. And they were horrible. So Mike North is the NFL's vice president of broadcast planning. He did a video chat with reporters, and his quote, I thought it was interesting. He said, yes, it's an awful lot of primetime games early in the season, but obviously I feel like the Jets kind of owe us one. Do you feel that way as a fan? Like, well, we had to watch turd Jet games last year because of the injury. Like, this is a make good by them.
I mean, I'm not a complete conspiracy theorist lunatic, but if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd buy into that one.
Yes, I would too.
That the league is out to get the Jets for some reason and forcing them to play all these primetime games.
He says, when we had this call, all of us, we were all in on the Jets, and for that guy to last 4 plays was disheartening for many of us. This is the NFL employee. I feel like we could run it back, and certainly our broadcast partners, when they came to us early in the process talking about what storylines they want to focus on early, obviously Aaron Rodgers' return was a key win for everybody. So you get a lot of Aaron Rodgers on primetime games.
Maybe.
I thought very subtly, I didn't see anyone talking about this, the funniest schedule release, not video, but the actual game. They're making the Chargers play the Cardinals on ESPN Plus only on October 21st, opposite the real Monday Night Football game between the Ravens and the Bucks that everyone's going to watch. And you have to get an ESPN Plus subscription to watch the Chargers Cardinals game on October 21st and not care about the other game between, you know, 2 pretty decent teams.
All right.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
I
didn't even know they had ESPN Plus only NFL games.
I did not either.
Yeah. I saw that Dan Patrick pointed out on his show that, you know, the Taylor Swift effect is still definitely a thing in the NFL.
They had to look around.
And they were like, he goes, is this really a thing that they scheduled games coinciding with her concert tour?
Well, they had to avoid the stadiums, you know, which she'd be playing in, because she plays massive stadiums.
Well, that makes sense. But does it make sense to make sure that she can be at Travis Kelce's games
Like,
when there's big ones,
there was
that they're not opposite her concert somewhere far away?
There was one in particular, the Chiefs are playing the Bills in Buffalo, and that game is the same weekend that Taylor Swift will be having concerts in Toronto, which is like, what, an hour drive, hour and a half?
They're trying to entice her to attend as many games as possible, knowing
make it as easy
the
as
big
possible.
Bump that she gives the league. So that's smart. It's smart. Not, it's not crazy. It's smart. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a real effect, that bringing non-football fans into the fold. Why would you make it harder on Taylor Swift to get to the games? Oh, she's got a concert in Germany the day before. Let's put the Chiefs in a huge game the next day. No, no. Find places where it's really convenient for her to go to the games.
All right, and it's finally, quickly here, the days of free refills with your soda at McDonald's may be coming to an
end.
Come
on.
There was a report earlier yesterday that McDonald's is going to be phasing out the self-serve soda machines between now and 2032.
Why?
They started doing the self-serve machines like 20 years ago, and they wanted to make it more convenient for you to serve yourself, get your free refills. Well, they are going to be removing that. Now, you'll have to go up to the counter. It'll be store-by-store discretion if they want to offer free refills or not. But it will be controlled
by the employees.
Does anyone
ever buy two sodas because they finished their first one and they need to get another one? No. So you're not going to sell any more sodas. You probably make people healthier because they're not going to drink unlimited sodas. But you're making it harder on your employees that are going to have to deal with those requests at the same time. Didn't we move past this, that self-serve sodas are just a good thing that we can just keep around?
Agree. They said some of their reasons were theft, you know, which I don't understand.
That's
I guess
Ben buying
get a water
glass
cup
and drinking Sprite
fine,
out of it.
But
the amount of
again,
space that the machines take up.
The cost, though, to them of even the stolen soda is like 2 cents.
Right. The little
it adds up,
and they're charging. I mean, McDonald's doesn't charge. They only charge like $1.59 right now for any size, which is I think reasonable. Other places they will charge like $3.49 for a soda, which is crazy. It costs them like 3 cents a serving.
But here's the deal: when's the last time you actually posted up in a Mickey D's to have your meal?
That's true. Not drive-through. This is why. Why are we even talking about this?
I know.
I did see Mickey D's though. They're talking about bringing like $5 value meals back.
Sold.
Like a double cheeseburger, fries, and a drink.
$5.
For $5. That would go crazy if that came back because, you know, you go to fast food now and you look like just for yourself and it's like, wow, $14. That's it's not what it used to be.
Not what it used to be, my friend.
And so they've been talking about bringing back a $5 like value meal. We'll see if they actually do it, because I think there are McDonald's owners are usually franchisees. They just buy the rights, and they're going to go, people are going to come in. We're not making any money on a $5 meal anymore with food costs and labor costs. That's a loss. Unless they order something else in addition to the $5 meal, we're going to lose money on that.
Will they, though?
Close.
It's interesting.
All right, that's the Rindle Report. Good job by Paulie. When we come back, we will be joined from Atlanta, Georgia, by the manager, Mike Schilt. A Fryer Friday Manager's Report is coming up next.
Let's go.
Do not go anywhere. I know you're not. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.